I'd like to welcome you to CSIS and to our Statesman Forum with Prime Minister Zurab Nogai-Dely of Georgia. I'm Celeste Wallander, the director of the Russia and Eurasia Program here at CSIS, and we're very honored to be able to host the Prime Minister during his visit to Washington. I think the reason for the Prime Minister's visit to Washington are obvious, but sort of merit a little bit of thought and pointing out their importance. Obviously, there's a strong bilateral relationship between the United States and Georgia, and a bilateral relationship that is developing along multiple dimensions in the areas of security cooperation, regional stability, democratic transitions, and also energy security and energy diversification on a global scale. But I think the visit is important as well for its larger context, in particular for the regional context and Georgia's role in it. We are now, in the next couple of weeks, going to be commemorating and celebrating the two-year anniversary of the Rose Revolution. And it's worth remembering that Georgia was among the first countries in the region to take that first step, that first important step toward a stable democratic transition. And it's been among the leading countries in the region to follow up on that first step in a series of initiatives and difficult reforms and commitments that move Georgia not just from the promise of the revolution, but also towards the actual hard work of building a democratic country. And that's been acknowledged, I think, in U.S. policy, for example, in Georgia's successful application and becoming a recipient of a Millennium Challenge account grant to support further development of the country's capacity to continue on that democratic transition. And I think it also goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that were it not for the example of the Rose Revolution in Georgia, we would not be having a serious discussion about the future transition of Ukraine along a similar but its own democratic path and looking forward to its parliamentary elections next year. So I think that it's especially appropriate to welcome the Prime Minister here because we're going to talk not just about, I think, the United States and Georgia, but we're going to talk about broader issues of foreign policies and the aspirations and achievements of many countries in the region that are important to the United States, important to Georgia and its neighbors as well. The Prime Minister began his career as a scientist, but moved towards a political life when he became one of the leaders of the Green Party in Georgia in 1992. He was a member of the parliament from 1992 to 2000, serving in a number of capacities in the parliament, including as the chair of the Parliamentary Committee on Taxes and Revenue, and has served as Georgia's Minister of Finance twice, once in the early 2000s, and then most recently from 2003 to 2005. He was appointed Prime Minister in February of this year, and as I've said before, we are very honored and very pleased to be welcoming him to speak today at CSIS. Thank you
very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like to begin by thanking CSIS for agreeing to host me and for the long-standing efforts of this institution to promote discussion related to Georgia. And more than Georgia, CSIS has played a key role in highlighting issues that are relevant to our part of the world. By that, I mean the spread of democracy, issues related to security and stability, reform and ongoing transformation. And of course, I would like to thank all of you for coming out today, for showing interest to my country. So far, I have had an excellent trip here to the United States and enjoyed my meetings with the U.S. administration on Capitol Hill with members of the business community and others. Let me quickly maybe overview the U.S.-Georgian relations first. 2 years after the Rose Revolution, it might be helpful to say this. I think, in my opinion, it is stronger than ever has been and more dynamic than ever has been. Why? Because I think that Georgia and the U.S. relationship is based on the sharing of the common values. And as Georgia's reforms get deeper, and as our country's democracy gets stronger, as our nation becomes more prosperous, so too does our partnership with the United States. When I speak of common values, I mean our deep appreciation for the notions of equality, access to opportunity, living and governing through a meritocracy, and of course the ideals of transparency and accountability. The partnership is evident in many spheres, military-to-military cooperation, our presence in Iraq, SSOP, train and equip program, military-to-military cooperation, when we are very proud to serve in Iraq. And pleased with the increased stability it brings to our region. The economic ties are strengthened by 25% in first 9 months this year. The trade has grown. It is very important for us, though very small amount for United States. The signing of MCC is very important. Signing of MCC compact is very important move forward. I would like to thank the MCC team working on Georgia for the real understanding of the priorities we have chosen and a very good compact. Our very close diplomatic cooperation and shared values of spreading democracy in the broader Middle East. Let me turn now to the reforms since Rose Revolution how they are going on. It is very important to know that now we enter in the stage when not only the individual leadership is important, but we enter in the stage when institutions met. And I'm really very proud that we have done it so fast, faster than actually we have anticipated. Institutionalization of democratic governance and reform is key for the success of any country. We can't be dependent on the leadership of several individuals for a long time. At the same time, democracy is not only about elections only. We need functioning and viable institutions to get in place, and we're working on that. Let me bring you maybe a few examples. Fiscal reform and the budget. We have fixed government finances already last year, but we have institutionalized this process already this year. The budget has grown by 3 times. We have tax collection have grown substantially. If, for instance, in January 2004, only 12% of GDP has been collected at that month, in the month of December of the same year, already 24% of GDP of that month has been already collected. We have different level of cooperation with World Bank and IMF at this stage. We have full ownership of the programs we have developed, and again, you know, I would like to thank IMF and World Bank for the understanding of the priorities we have chosen, and for understanding the programs we have chosen, and for supporting us in that programs. Because you don't do reforms when somebody else is telling you. You do reforms when political momentum is there, and then circumstances are allowing it to do it. Especially when you have the popular support behind you, you need to move ahead as quickly as possible and to the reforms and to get the country to the painful reforms to get in on the safer side. GDP. Real GDP growth has been 6.2% last year, and we expect 8.5% this year. IFC, the International Financial Corporation of the World Bank have cited us to be the second most reformist country by 2004 results. We have reorganized tax administration last year, and then that was one of the successful reforms of ours. But this year we have continued with the simplification of tax regime. And I think that now we had 22 taxes altogether in 2004, and we have 8 taxes right now only. And I think probably we have one of the simplest tax regimes in the world. Last year, the study is based on how much problems is in doing the business, and it has appeared to be that only 3 countries in the world in 2004 have decreased the number of licenses and permissions. Bulgaria, Romania, probably because of joining European Union, I would think, and Georgia. We have only abolished 3 licenses in 2004, while in this year we have abolished more than 700 of them. Actually, the number of licenses and permissions have gone down by 85%. This is because we want to have business and low-level bureaucracy interaction to get to the minimal level in order to avoid corruption and to avoid inefficiency of the government. New customs code will be very soon introduced, and import, export, and transit regimes will be simpler. It is very important how we're using the money, the new, the additional money, if one can say so, that we are raising through the improved tax administration and privatization in Georgia. Most of all, we are concentrated on building the roads, improvement energy sector, improvements in energy sector, and improvement in social infrastructure, building the schools primarily. I want once again to highlight the significance of MCC Compact for Georgia. Every cent which will be invested in physical infrastructure in Georgia is not only investment in today's of in Georgia's today, but in Georgia's tomorrow, because it is strengthening democratic institutions and democratic transformation in Georgia. One very good example of how not only individuals, individual leadership, but institutions matter is education reform of ours. Education reform of ours. We are very proud of that. Before we had the university by university exam, which has been the corrupt system. The decisions has been based not only on merit and knowledge, but on connections and bribery. There was, you know, fixed amount of set even in universities for that or another exam, and so on and so forth. A lot of examples could be brought, but now by changing the system, by introducing national exam system, we have cleaned it by 100%, and even Georgians are admitting that has happened. It's a very, very important thing. And it is not only important as an anti-corruption measure for me personally. It is important for me as a long-lasting thing, which means that equal opportunities is created. Somebody, Georgian, living in remote region today, knows that it is up to him or her, up to her knowledge and merit, and his knowledge and merit, that whether he gets to the university, to whatever university he wants or she wants, to get the university degree and to get achieved something in her or his life, which is very important. And that is much more important than fighting against corruption right now today. And but most important thing for Georgia's future, it is not only that we have achieved through the leadership of today, but we build up the institution which will be carried on in the future. Energy sector reform. We have discussed these issues for a long time, and at some point even we have stopped believing that that we could reform our energy sector. Yet at this stage we need to manually see the energy sector reform going on, and the energy sector problematics that daily is discussed on my level. But we already enter in the stage, and it will be end of 2006 when institutions and regulation framework will be decided what needs to be done. First time, last summer in Georgia, we went through without major electricity shortages. We are going through the same this winter already. And I think we already showing how decisive we are in reorganizing our electricity and energy sector altogether. We will be fixing it, I'm sure, absolutely. The privatization of the sector will take place in mid next year. We'll hand it over to investor, and from 2007, the government will have almost no say in, for the sector, and the private sector will decide how it should be moving ahead on. Very important reforms are in our agenda next year. Local self-governance reform, first of all, where the results will already be shown at the end of the year. We're working now on the legal basis for the sharing the power in budgeting, sharing the power in property and in other fields, because we need to make sure that local self-governance is really financially independent. Otherwise, that it's senseless to talk of the self-governance at all. But it is important that we will be holding the elections at the end of 2006 when, for the first time for Georgia, local top executives will be elected by the local councils, unlike as it is today, they are nominated by the president. It's another revolution which will be happening next year in Georgia. We will be getting to the region's political process. We will be getting to the region's political responsibility. And I think it will be the great contribution to the Georgia's prosperous future. We're starting very important judicial reform at the end of this year. For the final success for any country, well-functioning, independent, and honest judiciary is key. We've started working on this. The new proceedings courts will be introduced. We get into the Anglo-Saxon system when it will be based on the competition between defendants and prosecutors, and the jury trial system will be invented. Many of us doesn't really understand, frankly speaking, most of the things we're doing, because this system is totally new to us. And we need to train a lot of people, prosecutors, judges, get them on the job, but we decisively move into that direction. Because if it has worked here, if it has worked in the other open and democratic societies, it should work in Georgia through the democratic transformation. We strongly believe in that. It will take longer time than the self-governance reform, though, but we will be moving to that direction and we will stay the course. We need to show that reforms are not done for reforms. Reforms are not done to report it to the CSIS gathering. Reforms are done to have results for the people on the ground. And that's the most important element to show from my point of view. It is very important that the results of the reform is not only showing during the elections, where it is very easy to show, but we have the widely and effectively functioning institutions. This is the equal access to opportunities in the education. This is the better energy services. This is the better roads. This is the better better functioned government altogether. And more importantly, this is the rule of the law, rule of law. This is what we need to ensure. Not only in the future, but showing it already today. And that's the most important element, I think, of the democratic transformation. We need to confront whatever the ideas about democracy in our part of the world has been, that democracy is chaos, and we need to substitute democratic transformation by so-called stability, which is not long-lasting. Stability which is not based on democratic freedoms, which is not based on individual freedoms, is not long-lasting. You can't sustainably have the stability in the societies which is not democratic. We should confront the ideas that strong men is needed. We need the rule of law. And we need to show the results, and we will be showing the results. And one of the most important elements we have discussed here, and why we need to be successful not only for Georgians and not only for Georgia, but maybe as an example setting for the region altogether, that democratic transformation is bringing the result. Democratic transformation is bringing rule of law, and then people do not suffer. We have presented here the peace plan for the South Ossetia conflict resolution. We believe in the peaceful resolution of the conflict. 35,000 people are living in the region. Two-thirds among them Ossetians, one-third Georgians. On the people's level, you know, since the conflict in 91, 92, there are significantly better relations than on the government level is. And I think it's high time to step in and to move ahead with a peaceful solution of the conflict. Because we need to get and set another example that through the democratic transformation, conflicts could be resolved peacefully. Through democratic transformation, people could coexist peacefully. It's a very important message and example setting not only for Georgians again, not only for Georgia. It is important for us. It is important for South Caucasus altogether. It is important for former Soviet Union. It will be important to Moldovans to fix their problems there. It will be important for other countries in the wider Middle East. And it is very important for us. And we will be very decisively moving towards conflict resolution. We will be concentrating all our efforts and resources on conflict resolution in South Ossetia. And we are very thankful the support and the engagement we have received here during the discussions in administration and in the Capitol Hill. Few words on the plan, maybe. There will be some unilateral elections, what Georgia will be doing itself to guarantee rights and representation of Ossetians, protection of their language, culture and history, confidence-building measures, the restitution law in place, registration of pensioners and the paying pensioners, infrastructure, social infrastructure rehabilitation especially. So we'll be trying to reach out to people there. At the same time, key is to engage Russia and to make it possible that Russia will see its own interest in getting this conflict resolved. Because the conflict in Georgian, on the Georgian soil is not only, you know, is not only contributing to the problems of Georgia and ours. It is contributing to the problems of Northern Caucasus and headaches to Russia itself. And it's the problem of regional security of Russia altogether. And we will try to reach out that element to Russians as well. We need to engage them. We need to make them see their own interest in conflict resolution. It is, again, very important that democratic transition is taking place in our part of the world. 15 years ago, people's perception in our part of the world has been that democracy is something for Germans, Austrians, but not for Georgians, not for Baltics, not for anybody else. 10, 12, 13 years ago, they have started thinking that it is also for Baltics, but not for Georgians again. Now they have started thinking that it may be for Georgians, it may be for others. And this example setting is very important. And we will be moving and doing everything possible and impossible not to disappoint our people as well as the people in the region. And I would like to thank you very much. I'll take the questions.
I'm going to make a couple of requests. One is that, as a courtesy to our esteemed guests, that everyone remain until the session is over. I know there's a tendency to come and go in Washington, but I think it would be appropriate to request that people remain until the session is over. We will end promptly at 5:15, as advertised. And I'm going to ask my colleague, Dr. Corey Welt, to help me manage taking your questions. So we have microphones that are available when you are recognized. Please state who you are and, if you'd like, your affiliation, and present your question when recognized by Dr. Welt. Thanks.
Go ahead, Toby.
Thank you. Toby Davis, U.S. State Department. I think there's a general agreement that increasing foreign direct investment in Georgia is extremely important. Could you tell us what steps still need to be taken to improve the business climate, both for foreigners and for Georgians in Georgia? Thank you.
Thank you very much for that question. Unlike previous period, now we have the problems in the macroeconomic field, how to manage inflow and how to get inflation down. And that's a good thing to manage, better than shortage of revenue, certainly. But we need to move ahead with the improvement of the business climate. We need to move ahead. We have been second best reformist last year, according to the IFC study, but still 100th in the world. We will move ahead farther ahead. We will move ahead. We have improved all the directions of the possibility of starting and doing business in Georgia, like, for instance, the registration, the business in Georgia is one of the simplest in the world. You know, before September 1st of this year, one needed to register in the court first, and then to re-register in the tax department, and then information should also be sent to the statistics department. Now, one only needs to be registered with tax department, and anything else needs to be done by the tax department itself. So actually, it takes 1 or 2 days actually to register the business, which is not important for the big businesses, certainly because they will take care, they will hire lawyers, financial advisors, everybody, but it's very important for the small business to get it done that way. And it is of it takes also a very small amount of resources, you know, to get a business registered. That's very important. Another very important element. But other things, we will be trying to do other things, which is in our agenda. We will be moving ahead with that. We will be moving ahead with not only, you know, how to register business, how to not how to close it, how to make, you know, the interaction of business with lower level officials more efficient and at all altogether less. But we will move ahead with other parts of the business environment to get it fixed. And we really have ambitions not to be only second most reformists in one particular year, 2004, but altogether we want to be among top 30 at least in doing in ease of doing business, and we will move to that direction.
In the back. Hello, Ambas.
Good to see you. How actively are the non-Georgian minorities in Georgia participating in the political process?
They are very actively participating in the political process right now, I think. It's very important and encouraging for us. Though we want and we need to do more and more for that. We need to reach out to the regions, and by the way, we're doing it. One of the projects of Millennium Challenge Corporation is concentrated on Samtskhe-Jawaheti region, on Jawaheti region, where we're going to jointly rebuild the roads and to have the better access to the region, which, Master, you know, there is Armenian minority populated there, which is a very important project for us, because if now, today, one will need to get Akhalkalaki or Ninotsminda, the towns there in the region, in 7 or 8 hours after the road will be reconstructed. We will finish it by 2009 or 10. It will take 2 or 2.5 hours, so it will be significant investment into the economic possibilities and opportunities for the region to get their agriculture harvest closer to the market. And I think by this, and especially by the local self-government, local self-governance reform at the end of next year, we will be having an increased participation of national minorities in the political process in Georgia.
In the back and on the side. I can't see it.
Mr. Prime Minister, you mentioned a number of administrative aspects of the changes that have gone down in Georgia.
Could you just identify yourself? I'm sorry.
Chris Fantozzi from Dorian Global. Apologize for that. But you mentioned a number of the administrative factors with respect to the changes that have gone down in Georgia, i.e. the education, the infrastructure, the judiciary, things like this. What have been the primary cultural impediments to change, or have there been? And if so, how have you dealt with them to affect change in your country? Thank you.
Again, you know, it's very difficult for me now to recall what was everything was very difficult. Everything was very difficult, but again, you don't do reforms when you get advices from somebody else. You do reform when the political momentum is there, and when you decisively move into that direction. When we have started police reform, for instance, I didn't bring this example because this is old one already, everybody has been advising us against it. Because for two months almost, there was no traffic police, and then patrol police, the newly invented one, was not also in place. Everybody has been saying it will be the chaotic on the streets, you know, you would not reach out the results, and so on and so on. But we have But we could not resolve this issue otherwise, because traffic policeman has been standing by the road, taking one lari, two lari, five lari bribe. Lari to dollars is 1 to 1.8 right now, and we could not address this problem, you know, with other regular means, let's say so. So we had to, you know, cancel this system altogether, as we have done in the case of education, because we can't reform these people. And more than that, you know, we're chasing them right now. There is 80 cases of firing from the job of patrol policemen and 14 cases of prosecution. All old ones. No new one has been ever prosecuted or fired from the job. From the beginning of next year, we will be having in the customs no one who has been working there before the Rose Revolution in 2003. No one. We had the dilemma, you know, what we have been facing, that whether we should move ahead with the civil service reform from the point of view to make civil service stable, but at the same time, we could not work with that customs officers at all. We could not work. They would not move ahead with whatever we wanted to do. So we will turn to the civil service reform, civil service stability later, when there will be the appropriate people with whom we can work, for whom the increased salaries matter, and who have not been involved in bribing, you know, the thousands and thousands or ten thousands of dollars. So everything has been difficult, but when you know what to do, when the vision is there, when the clear plan is there, when you're decisive, then you're moving ahead. And we will be moving ahead with other fields as well. You know, that's a few examples I have brought here, but we will be moving ahead.
Paul Krieger, I catalog Georgian material at the Library of Congress. I have a question about Abkhazia. Mr. Aslania was here earlier in the year and expressed some cautious optimism about the...
Alasania. Uh-huh. Yes.
He was here earlier in the year and expressed some cautious optimism about the ability of Georgia to deal with the new government in Suchumi now that Barabsh has taken over from Ardzinba. Mm-hmm. Is that cautious optimism still...
cautious optimist still is in place.
To say short, some details.
Our ability to address any issue, including that one, is certainly stronger than it has been before. Not as much as because Bagapsh has replaced Ardzinba, but because new and effective government is in place in Tbilisi.
Shaliva, visiting fellow John Hopkins University. Thank you very much that you mentioned difficulties in post-revolutionary period. I have a question. What kind of advice you can give to governments in Kyrgyzstan and Ukraine, and what are your lessons learned? Thank you.
To be decisive and to move on. To be decisive and to move on. That's no other recipes over there. There will be no better political momentum than now is.
My name is Alex Van Oss. I work at the Foreign Service Institute. I'm very happy to say that there is Georgian wine available in Washington, D.C. now. But I read about this miracle in Georgia that there some people are making wine without grapes. How can this be? And what are you doing about it?
That no longer happens there. We have been very decisive in fighting against falsification of wine. And we're really proud of the results we have achieved this year. And thank you for mentioning this issue. The export this year have grown by 80%, an unbelievable number compared to last year. The second issue is that we had twice as much harvest as last year. And from the very beginning, I was afraid what we are going to do with that harvest and what kind of problems we will have in Kakhetia especially, but we have managed this through fighting against falsification, against avoidance of paying taxes, and by enlarging export markets for our winemakers. And finally, we have ended up during the harvest, during 2020, that there was a deficit of grapes on the market, which we have not expected. I'm also very glad to mention that for the first time since Georgian wine have appeared in the U.S. market, and if before it has been only concentrated on immigrants from Soviet Union, and it has been sold in so-called Russian shops, now for the first time it is sold in regular shops, and that's a very important development for ours. So we will be expanding our presence in the United States in this field.
I was not being entirely altruistic and asking Dr. Welt to manage the questions, because that way I could get myself on the list without having to take it as chair. I had a question about foreign policy. Mm-hmm. And in particular, I think at least I, and I know many people here, probably have a pretty clear understanding of the nature of Georgian-U.S. relations and what Georgia hopes to get from the relationship and the United States' ambitions in its relations with Georgia. I wonder if you could say a few words about Georgia's hopes and objectives in its relations with Europe, either the European Union as a whole or any particular European countries that Georgia sees as important partners in areas of economic development, security cooperation, anything that you think is especially important.
Again, you know, the two directions of Georgia's integration in North Atlantic Euro integration is for us, both the NATO integration and the European Union integration. And as in the case of conflict resolution, we want to move faster with NATO integration than with the European Union integration one. We're moving ahead with the reforms. Most of the reforms are according to the schedule as they are agreed in the case of NATO Individual Partnership Action Plan, and as it is in the case of New Neighborhood, European Neighborhood Policy, the action plan there. And we will be moving ahead with that. And whatever is falling behind so far, we will be up to the schedule very soon. And we really hope we will be invited for the NATO membership action plan by the next 2006 NATO summit, and for the membership negotiations by the 2008 summit, which will take place later. And we're working on that direction, aiming at that particular dates. As far as the European Union is concerned itself, or our Euro integration is concerned, we hope we will be coming up with a very good plan of European neighborhood policy, and we will be moving ahead with that. At this stage, it's very difficult to predict, you know, the timeline of anything concerning European Union. So I would not speculate on that issue.
Could you say a few words about the grouping, the regional grouping known as GUAM and its mm-hmm. future, Georgia, Ukraine, Azerbaijan, and Moldova, which once included Uzbekistan, but now does not include Uzbekistan any longer, I understand.
Mm-hmm. This grouping, you know, as you have mentioned, Uzbekistan have dropped, but this grouping is very important for us. I think it is important for Azeris, it is important for Ukrainians and Moldovans. It's a very important cooperation X, and we will be promoting this cooperation to the maximum extent possible. It will be having two dimensions, I think. It will be having an economic dimension as well as it will be having a political dimension. We will be promoting altogether these countries' democratic transformation in our countries as well as in the region altogether.
Hi, I'm Anna Kalandadze with Voice of America Georgian Service, Kamar Jobet. Robert Simmons, UN Secretary General's Special Envoy to Caucasus, just a couple days ago mentioned that unresolved conflicts in South Ossetia and Abkhazia. Robert Simmons mentioned that unresolved conflicts in South Ossetia and Abkhazia will not serve as obstacles to join NATO maybe next year. Do you think there's a direct connection between these two? Is it possible?
I think that Georgia should not be deprived from NATO integration and not NATO membership if conflicts are not resolved by then. But what we need to do, what we shall try, to get conflicts resolved by then.
Department, can you please talk about the progress that your government has made in fighting the presence of terrorists on Georgian territory since 2002?
We have been very decisive on these issues. And we have fought terrorism on our territory. We will continue to do the same in the future. The particular things to mention here is that there is no longer the problem like has all the time have been appearing in the beginning of 2000s in Balkisi Gorge and so on and so forth. We will be decisively fighting against terrorist presence in Georgia.
Michael Fireman, National Defense University. Mr. Prime Minister, I was delighted to hear of the optimism that you expressed about the reforms in the power sector, which has been very troubling to Georgia for many years. And I'm just curious, one of the key factors that was limiting the ability to reform it, of course, was the payment rates for electricity that's distributed and consumed. And without improving that, there's obviously no future for privatization or standing up the sector. And I'm just curious, what kinds of improvements have taken place and how have they been brought about in recent years?
Can you imagine UDC is collecting more than Telasi does right now? But that's happened. The collection rate is already, the average collection rate is already more than around 65%. We have been struggling around 20, as you remember, just 2 years ago. And the decisive factor here has been the decisiveness from our side and good work and management from the company itself. That was the recipe what we have been discussing back 2 years ago, but nobody has been taking care of. We have just moved ahead whatever we have discussed back in 2 years from now.
Mr. Prime Minister, if I may interject, I have a question I think that's probably on most of the audience members' minds and everybody's been afraid to ask, and that regards the recent dismissal of the foreign minister. And I'd like to know if you'd be able to comment a bit on the circumstances that led to this, and in particular whether this would indicate in any way any kind of shifts in Georgian foreign policy.
First of all, the reasons I want to explain, unfortunately, foreign minister went too far in problems in relations with the parliament. The many people have thought that we could not take into account the parliament's position, but that is not a possibility. That was even insulting the parliament, not respecting the democratic process and not respecting the oversight role of the parliament, which is not going to happen, which could not be moving to the direction. So I had to take this decision to dismiss foreign minister and to replace here by Gela Bezhuashvili, former national security advisor to the president. But as far as foreign policy is concerned, it is jointly worked out by president, government, and the parliament's majority, and we will stay the course.
Paul Joyal, Mr. Prime Minister. Recently, there was an arrest of a member of the Russian peacekeeping force. Yeah. He was arrested in Gori, and one of the suggestions was that he was involved in the management of a terrorist act that occurred in Gori, mm-hmm. in which certain police, Interior Ministry policemen were killed. Could you comment on that case and why he was released after his arrest?
I can say directly, we have released him in hoping to get discussions with Russia in a good faith over a conflict resolution in South Ossetia altogether.
Is there a criminal case concerning his activity
yet that the investigation will continue on him.
Gregory Pfeiffer, National Public Radio. Mr. Prime Minister, can you comment on the importance, symbolic or otherwise, of the continued presence of American military personnel in Georgia, the importance for your relations with Russia? Thank you.
The military cooperation, direct military-to-military cooperation with the United States is important for us. I don't think it has anything to do with Georgian-Russian relations at all. But it is very important for us. We have now the second phase, so-called SSOP, when American military is training Georgian officers. Any additional Georgian officer trained is security and stability for the whole region, not only for Georgia. And it is very important for us. It makes Georgian troops interoperable with U.S. Troops. And what is more important, maybe it makes interoperable Georgian troops themselves. It is very important to note while we serving in Iraq, we have only had, because of this very good interoperability, only one wounded officer, thanks God, and that is very important for us in the future.
Mandy Tuttle from the Defense Department. I just wondered if you could possibly comment on the discussions with the Russians regarding their Istanbul commitments in regards to Georgia, and if there are any discussions going on, and
discussions have already completed, and the Russian military bases are going to withdraw by the end of 2008.
By the end of 2008. Good to know. Thank you.
Teresa Fries, I'm a journalist based in Georgia. You've talked a little bit about conflict resolution towards South Ossetia. I'm wondering if you could compare that towards to your approach towards Abkhazia. Are they similar? Are they different? Recently, there were also reforms in Georgia in the government with to streamline your approach towards South Ossetia conflict resolution. Will there be similar reforms towards with Abkhazia in the government?
Right now, we'll be concentrating the resources and efforts in peaceful resolution of South Ossetia conflict, which does not mean that, you know, we will be ignoring Abkhazia or just we are going to forget about that. I think that we're going decisively moving forward with peaceful resolution of the conflict in South Ossetia, which will be example setting and very good for settling the conflict later in Abkhazia as well.
Toby Davis, State Department. Could you comment on the parliamentary resolution that is trying to encourage the Russians to make their peacekeeping efforts in Ossetia and in Abkhazia more effective? What do you think the results are going to be?
Comment of mine is that we have come up with a peace plan. We have discussed it with Russians. We have discussed it with U.S. officials here. Tomorrow I will be presenting the plan to OSCE Permanent Council. We will be moving on with that, and we hope to have progress in conflict resolution and to get it resolved as soon as possible, because we cannot maintain the status quo over there. This is in nobody's interest. We cannot leave the black hole there. I think it is in best interest of the whole world community that status quo is not maintained there, and the black hole is not left, because it is contributing to the problems not only of ours, again, I would like to mention, but to everybody's, including Russia's headaches. It is contributing to a great deal. I think we'll be moving ahead to explaining to the world that in world's interest, it is also not to maintain status quo there, had to move ahead, and to get this conflict resolved as soon as possible.
Well, I'd like to thank Prime Minister Nogai Dele for joining us, for addressing so many issues, very complicated and difficult issues in both his presentation and in your questions. I know that he has a reputation for being not only an experienced politician, but a very effective and successful manager of government policy. And while a government's success depends on the whole government and, of course, the country, I think I come away from this discussion with a sense of the value of your leadership and with really a great deal of interest in the further progress over the next 2 years based on what we've heard today. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. And we will.